Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for June the 18th, 2018. This is David Corey along with my co-host Richard Hurley. Thanks for joining us this evening. We have two major segments in our show tonight. First, we have a special guest, Mr. Sean Knowles, the Director of Veteran Services of a group called Volunteers of America of Florida. He'll tell us about some outstanding services and programs offered by his organization throughout the state of Florida. Then, in our second segment, we have VA News from Washington. But first, let's go over to Richard Hurley. Hello, Richard.
Hey there, David, and good evening, everybody. I hope everyone is doing well this evening. We have another great hour of news and information for you. So sit back and enjoy the show. Please also keep in mind that we are a call-in show, so you can let us know what is on your mind as far as veteran issues are concerned. Our toll-free call-in number covering the entire United States is 1-888-627-6008. Again, the toll-free call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. Back to you, David.
Thank you, Richard. It's my privilege to introduce our special guest today on the Veterans News Hour, Mr. Sean Knowles, who is Director of Veteran Services with Volunteers of America of Florida. He's here to tell us about all the work done by Volunteers of America of Florida, including services and programs they have to specifically help veterans. Sean Knowles is a veteran of the United States Air Force, having served in the medical field between 1991 and 1997. After his military service, he returned to Tallahassee, Florida, and started his own company with a partner in the cellular tower business. In 2009, he started his present career with Volunteers of America of Florida at a transitional housing program as the housing and property manager, and he quickly realized that he had a new mission to help his fellow veterans through the many different programs around the state offered by VOAF. Sean currently oversees the North Florida region, covering all the way from Tampa on the west central coast to Pensacola and the northwest corner of the state. In addition, Sean is the operational lead covering multiple veteran programs and non-veteran programs as well. So without further ado, let's welcome Sean Knowles to the show. How are you tonight, Sean?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's our privilege. Let me begin by asking you to tell us about Volunteers of America of Florida. What's the purpose and the history of the organization?
Well, the history, we'll start off with a little history. It's actually Volunteers of America has been around since the late 1800s. It was founded in the late 1800s by Maud and Wellington Booth. And they came over from Europe with the Salvation Army and quickly saw a need of services that needed to be provided to the homeless population. And over the years, breaking away from the Salvation Army's side of it, they quickly realized that they were not small enough, or they were too small to really make big impressions and help the most in need. And so they kind of created Volunteers of America. Now, Volunteers of America at times is a little misconceiving. We're not a volunteer organization. Back then, volunteers were the people who went out to do kind of mission work and to help those in need were called volunteers. So we're not really a volunteer organization, but that's what we've been called. And currently, I work for the Florida affiliate, the National Organization of Volunteers of America. There are 36 different affiliates now around the state, or around the country, and for the most part, we all kind of do some of the same things. We focus some on elderly care, some focus on children. Our niche in Florida really is the veteran population and really assisting our population, third highest homeless population in the country.
I see. Well, that's very interesting, and the history that you mentioned going back in the 1800s was something that I wasn't aware of. Now, you mentioned the various programs that you have in the state of Florida. As our listeners know, Florida is a growing state as far as population. I think we're up to the third in the country as far as
yes.
population. A lot of veterans. I think there's 1.5 million veterans in Florida. And Florida's geographically a pretty diverse state, large state. Can you tell us where in Florida your facilities are located? What kinds of resources are provided at those facilities?
Sure. Well, just in pure numbers, I have 13 grant per diem programs scattered around the state. Pensacola to Jacksonville, down to Miami, Central Florida, and even one in Key West. All of the big cities, Tampa, Bradenton, Sarasota area, Miami, South Miami, Tallahassee, Jacksonville, Lake City, Gainesville, Ocala, Cocoa Beach are really our main ones for our transitional housing programs that we operate.
I see. And can you tell us more about the resources and how that transitional housing works?
Sure.
What would a person find if they went to one of those locations?
This program. Yeah. So what they are is they range in size. Some could be as small as 10 beds. Some could range in size as large as 80 beds. And what they are is they're a transitional housing programs that are set up to help veterans, male and female, who are homeless or in danger of becoming homeless, who are potentially suffering from any mental health disorders or substance abuse disorders, things of that nature. And what we do is we want to bring them into the programs, get them off of the street, get them out of the shelters, get them off of loved ones' houses or couches or things like that, and really bring them in. Let's get them acclimated. Let's get them settled, safe and secure, and then start working on whatever issues they might have in order to move them back out to independence and living on their own in either in that community or some other community around the country. The services that are provided, obviously, are case management. We have independent life coaches. We have licensed clinical social workers. We work hand-in-hand with the VA. We work hand-in-hand with other partners in the local communities and other resources such as Career Source and Echo and all these other different kind of service providers in the local community to help get them reintegrated back into society.
I see. Very good. I think Richard Hurley has a few questions for you, and then I'll have a few more after that. So, Richard.
Sure. Yeah, good evening, Sean. What specific programs does Volunteers of America Florida have for veterans? And if you could also comment on programs dealing with PTSD. As you probably are aware, this is PTSD Awareness Month. So
yes.
You can kind of enlighten us on some of the programs that the organization
yes.
has for PTSD.
So all of our transitional housing programs have a clinical-based model that we use. So what that means is on top of the case management and meeting with our counselors are mostly master degree level case managers or counselors, and then also assigned to them, they have the licensed clinical social workers, which do therapy. It might be therapy it might just be sitting and talking and discussing things. They'll use different practices. They'll do groups. They'll do individuals. They also do certain things. I think it's called EMDR, which is a proven method to help with PTSD. So we really get in all of our programs, all of our transitional housing programs offer these services to the veterans.
Very good. And how does a veteran go about getting help from your organization?
Well, depending on the location and where they're coming from. Some of the smaller towns or cities that we're in, really, we just need a referral and for them to make contact. They can do a self-referral. They can contact us directly at those programs, and then we can start the process of getting them doing a vetting process with them, and then getting make sure that they have connected with the VA, the local VA, or whatever the medical doctor that they are assigned to or living in that area, making sure that they're enrolled in the VA. And they don't necessarily have to be eligible for VA benefits, but we have to prove that they are a veteran, so to say. So, once that referral comes in, go ahead.
So Richard, is this with the DD-214?
DD-214, yeah. We can get a copy of the DD-214 if they have it. That's great. If not, we'll apply for one, help them apply for one, and usually that can be expedited a little quicker if we do it through the VA.
Does your organization work with the veterans courts that are around the state?
Absolutely. That we get a
tell us about that.
So, for instance, in the Tallahassee, so what we'll do is every Monday we have a meeting with the court liaison representative from the local courts, and they will come in. They'll meet with us, and they'll say, "Hey, we have these four individuals or five, however many it might be, and we will. They are looking." Obviously, when they get out of the correctional facility, they'll need a place to go. Or to keep them from going into a correctional facility, they can be referred. The judge might defer them to come into one of our programs. And that's happening on a lot of our programs around the state.
Yeah, I'm watching county by county starting to get, utilize the veterans courts. And That's a real good thing. I've worked hand in hand with some of the veterans courts, and it's a great program.
Yeah, and it's a big help with the local economy to keep, instead of having to put the veterans in jail and having to pay for all that, let's keep them out of there and put them in our programs and give them a chance to get back. To work their way back into society.
Let me ask you this regarding the veterans courts. You seem to know a lot what's going on. What I'm finding, and maybe you can shed some light on this, is that depending on the county, you can actually have a more lenient veterans courts or a little bit more conservative. For instance, I have been told that the veterans courts in Pinellas County is quote unquote draconian,
right,
versus the one in Hillsborough County. I'm not going to name judges. I know who the judges are, versus the one in Hillsborough County, which apparently is a lot more lenient for the same offense, same exact set of facts. One veteran in Pinellas County versus one veteran in Hillsborough County, yet the one in Pinellas County ends up having to go the normal criminal route, whereas the one in Hillsborough County ends up in the veterans courts, which, as you and I both know, can have a drastic impact on that veteran's life for the rest of his or her life. Do you find that?
Absolutely. It is different. It's different all over. At work, we always joke about, how different things are just around the state. You get to the central Florida, south of Gainesville, things are, the greater population, greater numbers, greater cases, felony cases and things such as that, all those numbers increase. So the leniency there is not as high as, say, in a place like Tallahassee or Gainesville or even Jacksonville and Pensacola. I mean, they're much more lenient to say, okay, here's the thing, here's the deal. We're going to give you a shot here instead of locking you up for a year or 2 years or whatever. So, yeah, that is a very common thing. And then you talk to people in Miami, my counterpart in Miami, and, judge will give them 364 days and then release them, then they have to come into our program, something like that. So it just really is where it's just different all over, so to say.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing. I've got a couple of clients right now that I'm dealing with, and the two that I'm thinking about who are in Pinellas are in big trouble. And yet if they were across the river in Tampa, it would be no big deal.
But, you know, and if you've ever, I don't know if they do, I do a few of the stand downs still that go on around my area in the north. They'll have, at the stand downs, they'll actually have a court proceeding. So that, and it's usually for non-felony stuff. They'll do, do some community outreach to get your driver's license back so that you can get a job, or, help with the child. I can't pay my child support because I haven't had a job in 6 months. So you either want to throw me in jail or take my card away or something. So let's work out. So the stand down court systems have really been helpful with the veterans being able to get back on their feet. And they are
Can I mention
lenient.
Something about that?
Sure.
This is David again. Yeah, Sean, I know at the St. Pete VA regional office, and then the medical center, which is on the same campus, the Bay Pines, now they call it the C.W. Bill Young, not far from where you are tonight, but they still have the annual stand down. I think it's about April every year. I went to
right.
one a couple years ago, and it was the first time I'd gone. I was there to help a veteran in the court procedure that you were just describing, where they'll have judges there typically handling misdemeanors, and they're doing various things to essentially try to help the veterans get a fresh start. They might be reducing some of the punishment, wiping out some of the debt that they owe or what have you, because as you said, if they're carrying around a huge debt that they're not going to be able to pay, they don't have transportation, they don't have a job, they're going to be homeless. But I was just really impressed with the thousands of veterans by the sheer number that were there for the stand down, but also very impressed with the VA's support for that, and also so many local, Pinellas, Tampa Bay area organizations that were there. They had their table set up. It was just a first-class event was very well received, very popular, and they had media coverage there as well. So,
they're amazing. I've been fortunate to go to quite a few of them over the years, and that whole concept originally got started in California, and I was fortunate years ago. I was doing some training called Safe Talk training, which is suicide prevention training for veterans. We were fortunate to be out there at the same time that a stand down was going on, and there was tens of thousands of people, tens of thousands of veterans and supporters and things like that. And it's overwhelming. I mean, it's really impactful and overwhelming to see that kind of support in such large numbers.
Right. And to see how many people need the help. Let me just take a break here for a moment just to remind our listeners, that those that may have just tuned into our show, our guest this evening is Mr. Sean Knowles, the Director of Veteran Services with Volunteers of America of Florida. If you have any questions for Sean, our toll-free call-in number covering the entire United States is 1-888-627-6008. I'll repeat that slowly for you if you're just grabbing your pen and paper. Our toll-free call-in number, 1-888-627-6008. Now, back to Sean. Sean, you were telling us about the various programs and the services of your organization throughout the state of Florida. Can you share with us some examples of some of the success stories of your organization?
Oh, wow. Yeah. We have lots of them. I've had many over the years. and success is measured in different ways, as we all know. We've had veterans who come in who have been homeless, living in encampments for 15, 17, 20 plus years.
Wow.
No income, nothing to do with, you know, other than the few people that live in the encampment really didn't trust the VA or didn't trust other local places, particularly the police and things like that. And through whatever reason, they come into our program and have successfully left our program, and to this day are still living on their own with income in an apartment, in a house, in a trailer, living somewhere and maintaining that even after 4 to 5, 6 years. And they come back and they volunteer now at the programs where they were once participants at.
Wow. That's great to hear. Go ahead, Richard.
We've had ones who come in and just needed that one little extra assistance, and now we've got some that are physical doctors and physical therapy who are traveling the world now with other organizations providing physical therapy services to underprivileged children in Africa. You could just go on and on. I think our greatest success is really moving these individuals, these veterans, just to independence and to be safe and secure, not only within the community, but within themselves.
Right. And I know you mentioned a lot about the transitional housing, but I know your organization does so much more, for instance, employment services, assessment, training,
yeah,
placement, resume building, all those sort of things.
That's all part of being in the in that particular program. You know, we work on all those things. So we get them signed up for computer. Some of them can't even turn a computer on. We get them signed up and teach them. We offer computer classes. You know, once they learn how to just the basics operation of a computer, then we'll give them the next phase is building a resume, emailing that resume. You know, it's easy to build one once they get the hang of it, but then how do you get it out to potential employers in today where it's not like you just show up, at a place of employment and drop off your resume anymore. Really, a lot of things have to be emailed, and it's all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So all those things are part of it.
Right.
We also have, on top of the transitional housing programs, we also operate a very large SSVF program, which stands for Supportive Services for Veteran and Veteran Families. And it covers, it's 13 different counties. One of them is Brevard County, which is the Cocoa Beach area. And the other one covers basically from Ocala up to Lake City and the surrounding 11 counties. And basically what that is that there's veterans and veteran families out there who are just struggling financially, need a little financial assistance. And they qualify under the guidelines that are set forth by us or by the VA. We can help them financially for 1 month, 3 months. I think it's a total of about, if you do it all outright, it's about 6 to 9 months that you could help them financially. And that could be anywhere from paying a mortgage payment to a rent payment to insurance to car repairs to down payments or security deposits, things like that, so that instead of a family or a veteran individual having to get out of a place, go into a shelter, that we try to keep them in that place or move them to a newer place.
That's a great program that I have to tell you, in my perspective, I don't think that program is publicized enough. I know of some organizations that do that, but I think it's a great program, as you described it, you know, trying to help people who may be at the brink of becoming homeless. They may just need that small sum of money to tide them over, and that's a great program. So I'm glad to hear about that. Is that something that that is you have so many different locations throughout Florida. Is that a program that's available at all of them or just some of them, or how does that work?
It just covers – now, there's our particular organization just covers those particular 12, 13 counties, but there are other agencies that every county in the state of Florida is covered under some type of SSBF program.
I see. It is maybe with a different organization. I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to hear. So, Sean, I know you have an outstanding website for your organization that has just a tremendous wealth, a lot of resources there where people can get visual sense. There's photographs as well as details about the different transitional housing programs, like all the different cities that you mentioned, as well as different programs. How can our listeners get involved to help your organization, either by joining as volunteers or employees, making a donation, and what is your website, by the way, so our listeners can find it for more info?
Yeah, it's real simple. It's voaflorida.org. There's many ways. Obviously, we are a nonprofit. We don't really go around beat the drum of always asking for money, but money always helps. Funding dries up. Most of our funding does come from the feds, and so every year it's a gamble on whether or not we'll be funded for a particular program. So there's lots of different ways you can donate. You can start fundraisers. You could volunteer at the program in your area and just get involved. It might be a food can drive. Almost all of them have pantries to help feed not only the veterans in those programs, but veterans in the community as well who might need help. Do a corporate volunteer. If you work for a corporation who's looking for someone or a different organization to maybe get involved in, make contact with us. We'd love to work with just about anybody. They can email, if they have particular questions, they can email info@voa-fla.org. And that email goes directly to our development team, and we have a wonderful staff down there that does some amazing things around the state.
I see. Also, and do you have a like a central phone number, or do you prefer by the email or through the website?
We prefer by the email and the website. It's easier to track.
Okay. Well, that's good to know, and I certainly encourage our listeners to check out that website, voaflorida.org. Now, Sean, I know you've got years now of experience in helping veterans as well as running a very large organization. You're knowledgeable about so many different programs. What advice do you have for veterans and their families and our other listeners, maybe things that I haven't asked you about specifically?
Get involved. If you're a veteran and veteran family, if you need help, reach out. Find, there are lots of very good organizations around the country. If you're something in Florida that needs help, contact me. Contact us. If you Google VOA Florida Veterans, it's my cell phone number comes up. Call me anytime. I answer phones all the time. If you're dealing with issues and you get it's just too much, please give somebody a call. As we all know, 22 veterans a day take their lives because things just become overwhelming, and we need to stop that. Losing one a day is too many. So, please just reach out, get help, make contact with whatever organizations in your area, and if you need us, give us a call, send us emails, and we'll do everything we can to help you.
Well, that's super. Richard, do you have any further questions for Sean?
I'm listening to both of you talk, I'm not sure what your plans are at Veterans Day in November, but there's an organization in Citrus County every year that does these dragon boat races. And one of our clients is a United States Marine. We recently got him up to 100%, and he runs it. He's been running it for a number of years. And one of the things that I convinced him to do is to make his dragon boat day a veterans, basically just a big veterans function. And apparently, and that's what he's doing this year. So I'm going to reach out to you, and maybe you and your organization can participate.
Absolutely. We'd love to.
I know Andy Smith's his name. I know Andy would be thrilled to have you involved, because I can tell you in years past, he's tried to get some veterans organizations. He's actually had a check that he could give these organizations, and for whatever reason, he couldn't get them to participate. So I'm going to try to put you guys together, because I think this is a no-brainer.
That'd be awesome. The thing about Volunteers of America of Florida is, and Volunteers of America in general, is if you ask a lot of people, most people have never heard of us. So we really have, over the past few years, 2 years, 3 years, really have been putting emphasis on getting into the communities, getting out, getting, you know, empowering our staff and to go out into the communities and get involved in these things and participate. It's not a, you know, we don't want to focus it just a fundraiser and collect money and things like that, but it's really getting our brand out there and letting people know who we are, what we're about, and who we want to help. So we'd love to.
That's great, Sean. If I could add something to that, you know, we've just been talking about so far on the program, Volunteers of America of Florida's veterans program. But I know, you know, and you can tell us more and highlight for us, the organization does so much more in addition to that. I mean, that would be enough for most organizations, but you help many other groups of people in need far beyond just veterans. Do you mind sharing that with us?
No, not at all. We have other programs, non-veteran programs, we call them SHP programs, which are scatter supportive housing programs. We have 811 programs, which are permanent supportive housing programs that are geared towards individuals that have been diagnosed with some form of mental health disorder. They can live on their own, but they just need a little guidance throughout the day. But it's independent living, and they live on site, they pay rent, they do the same things as other people, as me and you do. We, you know, we go to work, we pay our bills, and, you know, we hope to make a difference sometime. They do the same thing. We also have elderly care programs. They're called 202s, and there we've got, I can't even remember how many of those we have now. I think about 15. I could be wrong on that number, but it's basically elderly care complexes. Orlando, Tampa, Miami, all of the big cities had those. So we help. Our goal and focus really is working with those that are most in need. Who are the individuals that are the most in need and are not really able to get a lot of services from outside and other agencies? So we really try to focus just on those individuals as well.
Well, that's super, and just to further highlight just the broad scope. I know our listeners that are familiar with the state of Florida realize geographically, you know, the distance between places, let's say Miami, and the far southeast tip of the state, all the way up to Pensacola and far northwest. But you've got veterans programs, and this is not counting the other programs you mentioned from Pensacola, Tallahassee, Lake City, Jacksonville, as you said earlier, Gainesville, Ocala. And I just, as kind of a sidebar, several years ago when I was in Ocala, I was coming in. Richard Hurley and I were going to be on a radio station in Ocala. I came in the night before, and I was looking for a hotel, and it was a stormy, rainy night, and I was getting a little frustrated finding a good place to stay, but more on the kind of the east side of Ocala, I stopped at this place because it looked like a hotel. It turned out to be your organization, the Ocala Ritz Veterans Village.
Which was
kind of a historic, I think it originally was a hotel, wasn't it? It was a historic-looking building.
It's actually a very famous hotel. Back in the, it was built in the early 1900s. And then back in the 20s and 30s, lots of people were coming to Ocala to come to the Silver Springs area. And then they shot movies, so Hollywood was coming in. So that Ritz hotel there was actually pretty famous back in those days. And
I see.
So, you know, then it our former CEO saw it. She loved historical buildings and loved pieces and just characters, a character in buildings. And she saw that building I can't even tell you how many years ago. And it sat there and sat there and sat there. And finally, through perseverance, she was able to help get it. And then we got it. We opened it up. It's a grant per diem program, transitional housing. We received some funds from the VA to help restore it back to all historical, qualifications or whatever. We can't change anything. I think it's even on the historical site. It's also on the haunted, the ghost tour site. So it's extremely cool place. Yes.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Yeah. And that must add to just the, you know, just the atmosphere for the veterans that are there. You know, it's a plus.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like some World War II military barracks or something, you know.
Right, so, right. And just so you know, that happens on a weekly basis. People come by wanting a room.
Yeah, like I did that night, yeah.
Yeah,
and then
right,
finding out right. that, I was in town to talk about veterans issues, and I thought, well, that's interesting. I find out about something that I wasn't even aware of. That was pretty
right.
cool. So, well, Sean, I applaud the work that you and your organization is doing, and you have an open invitation. Come back, be on our show anytime you'd like. Tell us how your programs are going. Opportunity to help publicize, we certainly offer that. Before we close, anything else you would like to add tonight?
Thank you guys for having us. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to help spread our mission and get the word out about our brand and what we do. Again, if there's veterans out there that are listening who need help, please, I implore you to please give us a call. Give us a call. Look us up. When you Google Veteran Services or Volunteers of America, Florida, you'll have all the information you need. There's pictures of everything, of all of our sites, all that kind of stuff. So I just implore you, if you need help, please reach out.
Very good, Sean. Yes, and again, for listeners, it's the website is voaflorida.org. VOA for Volunteers of America, voaflorida.org. So great. Sean, thanks again. Thanks very much for being on the Veterans News Hour. We wish you and your organization the greatest success.
Thank you very much. You guys have a wonderful evening.
Yep, thanks, Sean.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was great. I'm very pleased that Sean Knowles was able to be on our show tonight, and hope to have him back again sometime in the future. Rick, before we turn to news from the VA, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, you know, as I was listening to Sean and different places he goes and around the state, and, you know, David, you and I also have different groups around the state, and I'm always wondering, how often did they all connect with each other? You know, he was talking about the Ocala area and we realized they're involved with Vets Helping Vets in Ocala, with Hank Whittier, who's done such a great job there. And I was just curious as to whether or not, how often they all might connect, because clearly, you know, the need is there. You know, we can't have enough of this stuff. I know some people who aren't familiar with all the organizations out there and all the needs for vets, and then they think that the VA takes care of all the veterans, and the truth of the matter is that the VA doesn't, and wasn't for these organizations like Sean. one with that up there in Panhandle and Hank Whittier's and Ocala and other people around the state. I don't know what our veterans would do. So glad to have Sean on the show and look forward to working with him on some projects coming up, maybe that Veterans Day out in Citrus County.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Very good. So, all right, let's turn to our second segment for tonight. It's news about and from the VA. As we've mentioned for the last few weeks, June is Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder Awareness Month. It's important to realize that PTSD affects many veterans, and there are many resources to help them. On that note, on June the 8th, the VA announced that it has opened its third Veterans Crisis Line, what they call the VCL, a call center. This third one, the new one, is in Topeka, Kansas, on the campus of the Colmery O'Neill VA Medical Center. The VA's acting secretary, Peter O'Rourke, said, and I quote, "Our focus is, as it always has been, to provide 24/7 world-class suicide prevention and crisis intervention services. VA is improving its service with this newest call center for veterans, service members, and their families," unquote. According to the VA's press release, the VA tries to prioritize the need to provide immediate care to veterans in crisis, and the Veterans Crisis Line is an essential part of that life-saving mission. The Topeka-based center was opened to support increased demand. The VA has two other call centers located in Canandaigua, New York, and Atlanta, Georgia. Now, a few interesting bits of information. Since the VA launched the first crisis line in 2007, crisis line responders have been pretty busy. They've answered over 3.5 million calls. They've initiated the dispatch of emergency services to callers in imminent crisis nearly 93,000 times. And they've also forwarded more than 582,000 referrals to local VA suicide prevention coordinators on behalf of veterans to ensure continuity of care with veterans' local VA providers. And I would add, just as a side note, when you hear these statistics, 3.5 million calls initiate over 93,000 emergency services calls, 582,000 referrals. This is just the Veterans Crisis Line itself. Many communities at the local level have their own crisis centers. For instance, the county I live in has a crisis center. And they'll answer calls from veterans and non-veterans. But the numbers I've mentioned aren't going to capture all those other ones. So there definitely is the need. Veterans who are in crisis or having thoughts of suicide, as we mention every week and we'll mention again, they can call the Veterans Crisis Line for confidential support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and every day of the year. The number is 1-800-273-8255, and then press 1 for the Veterans Crisis Line. You can also chat online, and apparently that's also a popular option for some veterans. You can chat online at veteranscrisisline.net/chat. And they even have a text option. You can text to the numbers 838-255. So a lot of different options for veterans or families that are in crisis. So over to you, Richard.
Thanks, David. Another news involving the VA on June the 12th. The VA announced the launching of an online suicide prevention training video titled SAVE, S-A-V-E, which is designed to equip anyone who interacts with veterans to demonstrate care, support, compassion when talking with a veteran who could be at risk for suicide. The training video is created in collaboration with Psych Armor Institute, a national nonprofit that provides online education and support to Americans work with, live with, or care for military service members, veterans, and their families. The acronym SAVE stands for Signs, Ask, Validate, Encourage, and Expedite. That's Signs, Ask, Validate, Encourage, and Expedite. SAVE. The training program offers simple steps anyone, whether a treatment provider, clinician, friend, or family member, can take when talking with veterans at risk for suicide. VA is leading efforts to prevent suicide among veterans, but VA alone cannot end veteran suicide, said Acting VA Secretary Peter O'Rourke. We need strategic partners, care providers, and communities to join us in this effort. Resources such as SAVE are crucial in helping all Americans support veterans in their community. VA suicide prevention coordinators have led the SAVE course at VA facilities and community centers across the nation. VA officials said extending and promoting this important training outside VA is critical in helping everyone play a role in suicide prevention. The free training video can be viewed at psycharmor.org/courses/S-A-V-E/. Let me do that one again for anyone who's writing this down. That's psycharmor.org/courses/S-A-V-E/. And PsychArmor is PsychArmor. The 25-minute online training course covers three main topics: suicide as a public health issue in the United States, signs that a veteran may be at risk for suicide, and actions people can take if they identify a veteran at risk. Back to you, David.
Thanks, Richard. In news from Congress, which affects veterans, this Thursday, June the 21st, the House Veterans Affairs Committee's Health Subcommittee will discuss the chronic problem of understaffing of the Department of Veterans Affairs health care system. Congress included a number of provisions in the VA Choice and Quality Employment Act of 2017 to improve the VA's ability to recruit, retain, and onboard high-quality clinicians and support staff to care for veteran patients in VA medical facilities. Now, the subcommittee this Thursday will also examine information from the VA Office of the Inspector General regarding Veterans Health Administration occupational staffing shortages, as well as the October 2017 Government Accountability Office report, which found incomplete information on the number of physicians employed by VHA and the lack of a comprehensive evaluation of VHA's recruitment and retention programs, which is a serious problem when they're already about 40,000 people understaffed. Now, the hearing will begin at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time on Thursday, June 21st, 2018. If you're in Washington and you're interested in actually sitting in on the hearing, it'll be in the Cannon House Office Building Room 334. But for most of us that won't be in Washington, you can also watch it live stream on the committee's website, which is veterans.house.gov. So this is an important House hearing, subcommittee hearing, really on the state of the VA healthcare system and the chronic problem of understaffing, the ability of the VA to recruit and retain and bring on board high-quality medical personnel and to evaluate all those programs to see how they're doing. Now, in other news of interest to veterans, this past Friday, June the 15th, the VA announced that it has issued a new policy implementing the May 2018 Economic Growth, Regulatory Relief, and Consumer Protection Act to protect veteran homeowners from predatory lending practices when obtaining a VA-guaranteed refinance loan. This act helps protect veterans and service members from the dangers associated with repeatedly refinancing their home loans. According to Acting VA Secretary Peter O'Rourke, and I quote, "We want to ensure veterans have the informed ability to take advantage of economic opportunities and make sound decisions that enable them to prosper when using their benefits. This program is yet another tool which will help veterans meet their personal goals." Now, this law also provides for a specified interest rate decrease and for protections of loan-to-value ratios. A refinancing loan must meet the requirements specified in the Act, or VA will not guarantee the loan. So So again, they're trying to look out for veterans, keep them from getting scammed on some of the refinancing arrangements. The VA recently implemented a policy where lenders provide veteran borrowers a comparison of their existing VA-backed home loan to their proposed one when refinancing to ensure borrowers are not set up for failure. In fact, they're just the contrary. They want to make sure that they're set up for success. So this is an important thing. They refer to it as a recoupment or break-even analysis, which is supposed to help veteran borrowers clearly understand the cost of refinancing, the monthly payment savings, and the overall impact on their finances. Now, as many of you know, VA-backed home loans generally do not require a down payment. They generally have low closing costs and are the lowest rates among all loan products in the marketplace. Notably, VA-backed home loans also continue to outperform other products in the market. In fiscal year 2017, the VA guaranteed more than 740,000 loans for a total of $189 billion, which was an all-time record for the VA home loan program. And in the last 3 years, the VA has guaranteed more than 2 million VA home loans for over $500 billion. The VA's home loan program, its purpose is to maximize veteran and service members' opportunity to obtain, retain, and adapt homes by providing a viable and fiscally responsible benefit program. And that's all in recognition to their service to the nation, a very important benefit. So that's news from Washington and affecting veterans for this week. Over to you, Richard.
Well, before we close the show tonight, and we are coming to another end of the Veteran News Hour, very good show tonight. Thanks, David. I would like to provide with a weekly reminder to veterans and their families about an important program called Coaching Into Care. This program helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment. Loved ones can help. Coaching Into Care offers free coaching to help you help your veteran. Give the program a call, toll free, 1-888-823-7458. It's hours on Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, the VA's Coaching Into Care number is 1-888-823-7458. In addition, I would like to once again remind listeners that if you know a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs also has the Veterans Crisis Line to help. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they did not get the help they needed. Help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. Once again, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. Call at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Okay, David, why don't you close us out?
Thanks, Richard. Yeah, it was an interesting show. Thanks to our guest, Sean Knowles, for taking the time to be with us. Again, Sean is the Director of Veteran Services of the Volunteers of America of Florida, and his website is voaflorida.org. Check it out. A lot of great resources for veterans and their families throughout the state of Florida. Well, it's time for us to go for this evening. We'd like to thank all of you for listening to the Veterans News Hour here on BBS Radio Station 1. We'd also like to thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom, for the great job he does every week for us. Please tune in next week, same time, same station. We'll have another excellent edition of the Veterans News Hour for you. Good evening and good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on bbsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.